This is a presentation of LifePoint Church. Our mission is to make gospel-centered disciples of Jesus Christ. For more information, please visit sharethelife.org.
Good morning. My name is Dale Williams. I'm one of the pastors of preaching here at LifePoint Church. I'm so glad to be here today because it's Father's Day, and I received a card and a telephone call from both of my children, and so I'm just happy as can be. I'm glad you could join us because this morning we are going to look again into Psalm 23. It's about sheep and shepherds. Sheep need a shepherd. Now, by that I mean sheep cannot survive on their own without a shepherd. Other domesticated animals like dogs and cats and horses and yes, even cattle can survive on their own without a shepherd, but not sheep. I even have a rancher friend and he has some cattle, and one fall when he was going to get all the cattle rounded up, he was missing one of them. And it had wandered off into the national forest, which was adjacent to his ranch, and he was there all winter long. And lo and behold, next spring, when the snow was melting, here comes this cow wandering into the pasture. So even cattle can survive, but not sheep. Sheep need a shepherd in order to survive. And that's one thing we need to learn from this Psalm 23 that we are looking at today. And we are all like sheep. We all need a shepherd to care for us. Without his help and without his protection, we cannot survive spiritually. So this Father's Day, when we talk about needing a shepherd, I may apply this to men and to dads a little more than to the rest of us, but all the rest of you need to listen in as well. Because you see, even strong men need a shepherd. Remember, David himself was a shepherd, just a simple shepherd boy, but he became the king of Israel, and he became the general of the army. He was a warrior king. He had a typical type A personality, strong-willed, aggressive, decisive, high achiever. He was just like a lot of type A personalities. He couldn't survive, however, without a shepherd. He is the one who said, "I have a shepherd." When he fell into sin, he was out of communion with his shepherd. He committed adultery with Bathsheba, and then he had her husband killed. And during that time, he was not in communion with God, his shepherd. You see, even strong warrior kings need a shepherd. I think for us men, one of the key questions we have, and we ask ourselves this all the time, do I have what it takes? Do I have what it takes to succeed in life? Do I have the strength, the power, the guts, the grit to get it through and to succeed in life? And the answer is, no, we don't. We need someone to help us, to protect us, and to guard us. Every man, woman, and child, teenager, we are all like sheep, and we all need a shepherd. We cannot survive on our own. And I think this is especially true in times of peril. When life falls apart, we need a shepherd. When we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we are in dangerous territory. And that's what the verse that we're looking at today tells us. Psalm 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And that verse comes, of course, just after verse 3 that we looked at last week. And there we learned that God leads us in paths of righteousness. You might ask, just what is a path of righteousness? When the Bible speaks about righteousness, it's speaking about our behavior, our good works, the acts that we do that God approves. Righteousness describes behavior. It is doing good works. It is doing the right thing. So this verse, I think, is saying he leads us in paths of good behavior, in things like integrity and honesty and faithfulness and kindness and truthfulness and so forth. Jesus said, "Let your light shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father." So I think what is happening here is saying he leads us through paths of righteousness, but sometimes that path of righteousness leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes that takes us through that dark and gloomy territory that is so dangerous for our soul. I think what is implied when we read these two verses together is he leads me in paths of righteousness, even though sometimes it leads me through the valley. The valley in the deserts of Judea were often ravines and wadis that were very deep and very dangerous, with caves in the sides and the cliffs of those ravines where some wild animals could hide, and then they could pounce on the stray sheep and devour them. Some pictures, I think, will help us understand the image of just what David is talking about when he talks about the valley of the shadow of death. The Judean desert was a dangerous place, but it was barren and rocky, with deep canyons where it was dark and hot and dangerous. Sometimes the shepherds would have to lead their sheep from one pasture to another, but they would have to descend down into those wadis and those ravines in order to get to the next pasture area. This last picture shows the famous Kel Wadi, which is the road between Jerusalem and Jericho. It's the place where the story of the Good Samaritan takes place. It is a long, difficult hike, and it is dangerous, and it is hot, and it's sweaty. One tourist who was doing it said, "I had 2 liters of water with me, but before I was halfway through, it was gone." You see, the path to the next watering hole in the Judean desert often led through the valley of the shadow of death. And that's true of our Christian journey. We're walking through the dark country of Satan's territory here on earth, and that takes us through dark valleys. Those dark valleys, that's just part of life. It's part of the desert experience. It's part of the Christian journey. And you cannot go through life without going through, sometime or other, a dark valley, a difficult place, a dangerous place. Please understand about these dark valleys. This does not mean that God is angry with you. It does not mean that it is your fault. It does not mean that God doesn't love you anymore. It doesn't mean that God has abandoned you. It does mean that for right now, we are going through a very difficult time in our country and our world. As I look at it, we're going through at least 3 valleys all at the same time. There's the valley of the coronavirus that threatens lives all around the world. We're going through the valley of racial tensions that are tearing our society and our communities apart. and we're going through the valley of economic recession, which threatens the future of many of us. And all of these dark valleys affect each of us in different ways. But God is leading us from pasture to pasture through these valleys in order to teach us to lean hard into Him and to trust Him and to depend on Him as our shepherd. You see, the big danger is not the physical situation around us. It's not actually the virus that is so dangerous. It's the spiritual risk that come to us when we are going through these difficult times. David says, "I will fear no evil." He saw beyond the physical and emotional realities of the valley, and he was focusing on what was threatening his soul and his heart. He said, it's the evil one that I could be afraid of, but I'm not, because God is with me. Satan is the one who was lurking in those caves, ready to lurch out and to devour us. Satan is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It's 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Cast all your cares and anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded and alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in your faith and in the knowledge that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. We're all going through the valleys. And Satan loves to attack us when we're the weakest, when we are distracted, when we're afraid, when we're not trusting God, when we're not praying and depending on Him. Satan is most active in the valleys of our life. That is why it's called the valley of the shadow of death. Satan's shadow, death's shadow, is making our path gloomy and dark and mysterious and dangerous. How does Satan attack us when we're in the valley? Well, when we're under pressure, for example, we're stressed out, and we're exhausted, and we're weary, and we're unhappy, and we're tired of it all, and we're tired of being tired. And we begin to think, I need this. If only I had that. Why can't we change this? Why can't we do this? And we begin to think of all of the things that we need. But remember how this psalm began? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not need. Even in the valley, the Lord is our shepherd, and we shall not want. But how often we begin to be afraid, and we worry about the future, and how we're going to pay the mortgage, and we can't sleep, and we get complaining about everything, and we start blaming everything on somebody else, and on the government, and we find fault with everything. But if Jesus is our shepherd, we lack for nothing. Our lives and our futures are secure. You see, Satan is going to attack and do everything he can to draw us away from the Savior and the Shepherd. He doesn't want us to trust in Him. He will make us fearful and anxious and discontented and angry and complaining and stressed out. These are spiritual issues, and Satan uses them to destroy our soul. The attack, you see, is spiritual. It's against our soul, our faith, our hope in Christ, our desire to follow Him. He does everything he can to cut us off from His presence and break up our communion with Him. Gordon MacDonald was a friend of mine, and we went to school together. He became a pastor and a rather famous author, and he wrote the book, Ordering Your Private World. And he writes about how he wrote that book. One Saturday, he emotionally hit the wall. He had been going through a valley in his own experience as a pastor. In the previous 2 weeks, he had had two funerals for homeless men, and it had just drained him emotionally. He was due to write an article for a magazine, but the deadline had already passed. He had two sermons that he was due to preach the next day, and he was not prepared. In addition, a woman who had a son that was hooked on drugs wanted to talk to him. She needed help. She was desperate. And on top of that, a businessman in one of his meetings in the city had challenged him on a theological issue, and it had just thrown him for a loop because he wasn't ready with a good answer. And it had just plagued him. And so that Saturday morning, he got up really early, decided to skip breakfast and go to his office to work. And with his hand on the doorknob, his wife said to him, "You know, honey, it's been a long time since you spent quality time with the children." And he hit the wall. It just broke him. And he broke down into sobs, and he couldn't stop, because he realized that he was absolutely empty and broken. He was going through many pressures. He was going through a lot, but he had failed to keep his communion with God. He had tried to do it all on his own. He was a talented guy, and he could do it. But that morning he realized that he was empty, and he was broken, and he could not succeed on his own. He needed a shepherd. Satan had succeeded in separating him, a pastor, from a close walk with God. David says, "I will not fear because God is with me." Notice what he did not say. "I will not fear because I am strong and I can handle this. I killed the giant Goliath with one stone from my slingshot. I've killed a bear and I've killed a lion with my bare hands. I can handle this. I'm strong. I've conquered the Philistines and I've driven them out of our country. I have organized a troop of 400 strong men. They are so strong they can defeat a whole army by themselves. I have brought all the 12 tribes of Israel together and formed together with them one united kingdom. I have established Jerusalem as the capital of the kingdom of Israel for the first time. I know how to lead. I know how to get things done. I'm not afraid of the valley of the shadow of death because I'm aggressive and I'm strong and I'm decisive. I'm not afraid." Let me tell you, men, we need to learn that self-sufficiency is never a sign of strength. Self-sufficiency is never a sign of strength. David, the warrior king, who was strong and powerful, a decisive type A leader, said, "I need a shepherd. I need someone who can take care of me, who can protect me, who can lead me. Therefore, I am not afraid because you, my shepherd, are with me." Because you are with me. And David at this point gets really personal. Up until this point in this psalm, he's been talking about God in the third person, he, God. But now he says, "You, Yahweh, you are with me. It's your rod and your staff that comforts me. You see, it's God's presence with us that protects us. It's not our own strength. It's not our slingshot that can kill Goliath. It is not our own cleverness and our own abilities to get things done. It's the presence of God who delivers and protects us. God's presence protects us. He is a very present help in need. When we are in danger, He is near us. He does not leave us or abandon us. His presence is what takes away the fear. David is saying, I find my strength in Him. It is my confidence in Him that gives me strength. Do I have what it takes to succeed? No. As your confidence in the Lord, so will your success be. Your success in life is in direct proportion to your trust in God. Let me say that again. Your success in life is in direct proportion to your trust in God. David noticed that his shepherd had a rod and a staff. Shepherds often carried those two instruments. The rod was like a club with a knob on the end of it. It was very useful for killing wild animals and defending against the enemy that was trying to attack the sheep. And he had the staff, a long pole with a crook on the end of it. You could lean on it, you could walk with it, but you could also grab the feet of those straying sheep and bring them back into the path. And you could guide them, and you could protect them. The sight of those instruments is what gave comfort and confidence to David, because he realized his shepherd, right there by his side, was armed to protect him from leaving, from guilt, from anger, from distress. And his shepherd is what gave him, therefore, the comfort and the assurance that he would get through this valley. Notice what it says, even though I walk through the valley. The valley is not our permanent encampment. That's not where we're going to stay. We will get through this. And the shepherd is the one who's going to lead us through this valley and get us to the other side. So our part, our responsibility as we go through this valley of the shadow of death is to stay close to the shepherd. We need to draw near to him. In the dark valley, the shadow of death, we need to stick to so close to the shepherd that there is no distance between us. That is our only hope, our only secure place. Draw near to God. In the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews especially, the writer talks to believers who themselves are going through a valley of difficult time in that first century of the church. And the writer of the book of Hebrews says seven times, draw near to God. I have some of them on the screen. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. Again, in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. He is able to save forever those who draw near to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. And another verse in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he who draws near to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. And finally, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 22, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. We can draw near to God, this verse says, because of two things. We can draw near because we have been cleansed by the blood of Christ. We've been purified because he shed his blood to take away our sins. We are forgiven and we are clean. And so we can confidently enter into his presence. But we can also draw near to God because he is a great high priest, and he is there in the presence of God, advocating for us, interceding for us, pleading our case before God, and God cannot refuse to receive us. We need to draw near to God when we are in the valley, when we're in the dangerous place. We are either going to draw nearer to God or we're going to draw away from him. We're going to draw closer to him or we're going to draw away from him. Are you intentionally these days, when we're walking through the valley, are you intentionally using this time to stick close to the shepherd? Are you drawing close to him? Let me suggest some ways. These are deep, these are powerful ways. They may sound simple, but they can change your life and keep you spiritually safe in the valley of the shadow of death. First of all, do as this verse has said, confess your sins. Make sure that your heart has been cleansed. It's clean. There's nothing between you, so that when you come into God's presence, he can look at you without the sin in your life. Confess your sins to him, and he will forgive you. Take care of that now. Don't let it go when you're distracted by many other things. Secondly, meditate on his word. Take time to listen to the word of God. Get an audio Bible on your app and find a quiet place, maybe in your pickup, men, and listen attentively to the word of God. The other morning, I went to one of the drive-ins, got a sausage egg McMuffin and a cup of coffee. It was about 7 o'clock, and I'll tell you, there must have been a string of at least 50 pickups in line getting their sausage McMuffin. All of them drinking, eating, and may I suggest this is a perfect time, put the earplugs in and listen to the Word of God. Let it soak into your thoughts. Do it several times a day. You can do it on your lunch break. Think about it. Lunchtime, drive home, drive to work. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly and make time to listen and reflect on God's Word every day. Third, exercise your soul. Now that may sound a little strange, but many of you exercise your body. You do physical exercises to keep healthy and strong. Maybe you go for a walk, maybe a bike ride. Maybe you do the Peloton exercises. But you do exercises to strengthen the area where you are weakest. Well, what about doing the same thing for your soul? Where are you weak spiritually? Are you weak in prayer? Are you weak in controlling your anger? Are you weak in complaining and always finding fault? Are you weak in showing gentleness to those you love most? Are you weak in caring for those who are hurting? So I suggest do a spiritual exercise that would help you and strengthen you in that area where you are weak spiritually. Are you weak in prayer? Then for 1 week, set aside deliberately and intentionally a time and a place to pray, and do this as a soul exercise. Are you weak in gentleness? Then for 1 week, why not find a day when someone, when you can help show your gentleness and your kindness, maybe to a coworker, maybe to a child, your child, maybe to your life partner, maybe a total stranger, maybe a person of color. Just do it. Do something kind. Smile beneath your face mask. Open the door for someone. Greet them kindly. Buy a cup of coffee. The other day, I went through a line and got a cup of coffee at the drive-in, and the pickup in front of me paid for my coffee. It lifted my spirits for days. Wash their car. Go shopping for them. Just do it in the name of Jesus as an exercise of your soul, so that people can see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. It will strengthen you spiritually, and it will draw you closer to God. Draw close to God with a sincere heart. Do this honestly, with integrity. This is not something you do to earn points with God. This is to draw close to Him because you love Him. He is your shepherd. He is your protection. God's presence protects you in times of peril. If we learn anything from this verse, let this write across your heart. God's presence protects us in times of peril. Therefore, draw close to God. If you need help, if you don't know quite how to do that, if you have a prayer request, may I suggest to you that you get in touch with us. We have people here, men and women, who are ready to talk to you and to pray with you. Simply go online and write elders@sharethelife.org. Elders@sharethelife.org. And we will get in touch with you as soon as possible that very day. Don't let it go, but draw close to God. Let us pray. Dear Shepherd, Shepherd of our lives, Shepherd that guards us and protects us and guides us, Shepherd that never lets us go, never stops loving us, even in the times of peril, even when we're going through the valley of the shadow of death, You are with us. Oh, thank You. Thank You, Lord Jesus, our Shepherd, our true Shepherd, that You walk with us through the difficult times, the dangerous times. And oh, how we ask that You would guard our hearts and that You would help us as we draw close to You so that we can know Your protection and Your guidance and Your direction in our life. Because, Lord, we need a shepherd. Without You, we cannot succeed in life. So thank You, Lord Jesus, our shepherd. We pray in Your name. Amen.
This is a presentation of LifePoint Church. Our goal is to encourage and equip people to become fully developing followers of Christ. For more information, please visit sharethelife.org.